Okay, Chair, you're on the record.
Thank you. Good morning. It is January 16th, 2026. It is 10:01 a.m. This is the Bradley Lake Project Management Committee meeting, and I'll call it to order, and we'll move on to roll call for committee members. Jennifer?
Yes, sir. Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer here.
Chugach Electric Association?
Andrew Laughlin here.
The City of Seward?
Oh.
The City of Seward?
He's
present.
Golden,
just barely.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Presently in here.
Homer Electric Association?
Larry Jorgensen present.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo present.
You have a quorum, Chair.
Thank you. We'll move on to item three, public roll call for all others present.
Okay, we'll start with the attorney, our attorney.
Hi, Joel Paisner, counsel to the BPMC. Thanks.
Okay, next we'll go to the folks on the Teams meeting. If you're from Alaska Energy Authority, nobody's there. How about we'll start with Homer Electric Association. Please state your name and affiliation.
Sarah Lamb, Homer Electric.
Martin Law, Homer Electric.
Jess Guler, outside counsel at ATA.
Okay, next we'll move to Chugach Electric Association.
Paul Millard.
Mike Miller.
Okay, and then we'll move to Matanuska Electric Association.
Kim Hinkle.
Josh Grohl.
Okay, and then Golden Valley Electric Association.
Sarah Babylon.
Okay, next we'll move to the folks in the room. If you can state your name and affiliation for the record.
Josie Hart, the Alaska Energy Authority.
Bill Price, Energy Authority. Mark Ziesmer, Alaska Energy Authority.
Pamela Ellis, Alaska Energy Authority.
Mark Billings, the Alaska Energy Authority.
Anqua Elm, Koniag Energy and Water.
Robert Varga, Alaska Energy Authority.
David Pease, Matanuska Electric.
Tony Zellers, Matanuska Electric.
Matt Demetrich, AEA.
Chris Kohler, Chugach Electric.
Jim Mendenhall, Alaska Energy Authority.
Ryan McLaughlin, Alaska Energy Authority.
Okay, that's everybody, Chair.
Thank you. We'll move on to the agenda approval. Committee members should have the agenda before you. I see that it's up on the screen for those of us participating online. I would like a motion to approve.
Curtis Thayer, move to approve the agenda.
Second, Brian Hickey.
Moved and seconded. Are there any comments, proposed changes? Not hearing or seeing. Jennifer, please call the motion.
Yes, sir. Chugach Electric Association.
Andrew Laughlin, approve.
City of Seward.
Brian Hickey, approve.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
President, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Larry Jorgensen, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
The Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Thank you, Matt. I'm sorry, agenda's been approved. We'll go to public comments before we talk about the minutes. Do we have any public comments?
Okay. If there's anybody in the room that would like to make a public comment? Okay. Is there anybody on the Teams meeting that would like to make a public comment? Okay, and finally, we'll go to the phone line. If anybody is on the phone line that would like to make a public comment, please press star 9 and you'll be recognized. Please state your name and affiliation for the record. Okay, for some reason, I've been told we cannot be heard on the phone. So, Chair, is it okay if I hang up on the phones and dial back in?
Yes, we'll take an at ease, just advise.
Okay, give me 1 minute.
Welcome to Open Voice Audio Services. Please enter your conference room number followed by the pound or hash sign. Conference room number accepted. If you are the organizer, press the star. Please enter your PIN followed by the pound or hash sign. For a menu of available commands, press star 1. All participants are muted but may unmute themselves. Hand raising. All participants are muted and may not unmute themselves. Hand raising is on.
Okay, it looks now we have unmuted people on the phone line. So I will state again, if there's anybody on the phone that would like to make a public comment, please press star 9 and you'll be recognized. Okay, Chair, no public comments at this time.
Well, thank you. We'll move on to agenda item 6, approval of the minutes from December 5, 2025. Like a motion to approve.
Curtis there, so move to approve. I'll second.
Second. We have a motion and a second.
Okay, thank you. We can take a little bit of time to review the minutes. Please speak up if there is a comment or edit that any committee member would like to make. Not hearing or seeing any comments or edits, Jennifer, please conduct a roll call vote to approve the minutes of December 5,
2025. Yes, sir. The City of Seward?
Yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Larry Jorgensen, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Fair, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Andrew Laughlin, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Thank you. We'll move on to item 7, new business. I don't see any new business before us, so we'll move on to agenda item 8, old business. First up is BPMC meeting schedule. Curtis, is there someone you'd like to speak to this? I think it's self-explanatory.
Yeah, thank you very much. Now, these are dates that have that basically follow our previous years. That on Fridays that Jennifer had prepared, and we wanted everybody to look at them at the last meeting and see if there's any outright conflicts early on, and of course, if we need to make adjustments, we can throughout the year. But this was to at least get our dates on the record for planning purposes.
Very good. Do we need a motion to approve the schedule?
I would recommend that we do.
I'll be happy to take one.
Motion to approve the 2026 proposed BPMC meeting dates as presented in the board packet under 8A.
Second, Brian Hickey.
Any discussion? I would just comment before we call the motion that we have been flexible in the past as things come up. This allows us to set some firm dates, and as always, the committee is willing to address changes throughout the year should reasons arise. So with that, if there are no other comments or requests for change, Jennifer, please conduct a roll call vote to approve the meeting dates for 2026 as proposed.
Yes, sir. Golden Valley Electric Association?
Yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Larry Jorgensen, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Andrew Laughlin, yes.
The City of Seward?
Brian Hickey, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Thank you. We'll move on to 8B, 2021, REF funding for Bradley expansion. Curtis, to you.
Yeah, I will just, what it was is in 2021, the BPMC, Chugach filing the application, but with the BPMC support and resolution, applied to the Renewable Energy Fund for a $1 million grant. And they would match that $1 million grant for the Dixon diversion. And that work has started, and obviously we have actually put that into the budget of the 19.7 that we've done, but we've never taken the formal action of collecting the money from the utilities. And so that's what this is on. It is now 4 years into it as we're very active in developing and moving forward with the project, that we would just formally would like the BPMC to pay the $1 million, match it with work that has been done. And I believe there's going to be a proposed motion, and my understanding is it also is just along the water rights of the utilities as far as a percentage. And that was what was agreed to back 4 years ago.
Very good. Comments, questions for Curtis? Curtis, is there an action that you'd like the committee to take today?
Yeah, sure it is. This is Andrew Loffman, the Chugach. I got a motion I can put before you. Move that the utility purchasers under the Bradley Lake Hydroelectric Project provide matching funds in accordance with the Renewable Energy Grant Fund Award Number 7014022 in the total amount of $1 million allocated based on each utility's percentage share of project capacity. Chugach Electric Association, 56.3%. Homer Electric Association, 12%. Matanuska Electric Association, 13.8%. Gold Valley Electric Association, 16.9%. And City of Seward, Seward Electric System, 1%.
Curtis Thayer, second.
Committee members, any questions, discussion? With that, we'll move forward with a roll call vote to approve the motion. Jennifer?
Yes, sir. Homer Electric Association?
Larry Jorgensen, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Andrew Laughlin, yes.
The City of Seward?
Brian Hickey, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association.
Yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Thank you. We'll move on to 8C, SIPLINK. We have an update. Mr. Mendenhall.
Good morning. Jim Mendenhall, Alaska Energy Authority. Give you a quick update on the SIPLINK. Just overall, of course, we had the process review in May, and then that they came to their approval back in September. Then that was closely followed by the government shutdown through November 12th. So I am happy to report that we are fully engaged again with the Department of Energy. Just quickly, I'll run over the memo we submitted and then happy to answer any questions. The environmental review, we're working closely with Stantec and HDR to look on some geophysical versus geotechnical, so it's mainly soundings profiles for the route over the Cook Inlet in 2026. That's one of the big items, and we list there the bathymetry, some minor graph samples and a few things to get some information on what we're going to encounter as we lay the line, and then subsequent years we'll have to go in and do more of the geotechnical where we might do some samples and stuff. But we have the permitting, NEPA permit for that, and we have to do a little bit on some disturbance of mammals and things, beluga whales when we're out there. So we're working on that. Stantec is working on the major equipment procurement, which is basically the HVDC converters and cables. We've done a lot of work trying to, preliminary work on the cables, the length, the initial power transfer, 100 megawatts of power transfer with further, long-term capability of 200 megawatts of transfer capacity. And Stantec is working on that and going to work on getting some preliminary procurement documents, and then we'll probably have a phased procurement approach. And Nexans will actually be up here to give a seminar at the end of February, and we'll be sending things out to both the BPMC and the technical working group to give people notice on that. I expect that to go out probably next week once Nexans gets things finalized. We talked about the configuration being initially 100 megawatts and ramping up to 200 if we double the converter sections. We've also done a lot of work with both Stantec and EPS to focus on the existing AC system, where it makes sense to make the actual termination. There was a lot of talk, should it be in Nikiski, should it be in Soldotna, and we've come up with some information there that we're happy to share. And the other on the financial status, we have done a lot of work on the financing. I think under agenda item 8F, Mark Billingsley is going to give some more information, but I just want to say currently our contract ended on June 30th. We have, we're working closely with DOE to extend that for July 1st. We just in the last week, we finalized our budget period for which would be January 1 of 2025 and for a two-year period. And we've submitted invoices and gotten paid up to our 6/30 date. And so we're having good conversations with the DOD, and we're in good position to move into the next phase. So I'm happy to answer any specifics.
Well, thank you for the report. Committee members, questions for Jim?
Easy. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. We'll move on to 8D, Bradley Lake Expansion Project Update. Mr. McLaughlin, please proceed.
Thanks. Ryan McLaughlin, Alaska Energy Authority. I'm just going to give a quick update on the Bradley Lake expansion project, where we're at. As mentioned previously, we're full steam ahead working towards submitting our FERC draft license amendment application. We're on track for submitting that probably first or second week of February. So the licensing and engineering teams are putting together all the exhibits, the license exhibits, and engineering package that will go into that. So work's on track for that. The amendment will include a 16-foot pool raise, as mentioned in the previous meeting. On January 22nd, next week, AA is hosting a workshop with the utilities to compare different raise configurations and operational changes. What will have to occur on different production scenarios to avoid spilling water in average low and high water years. So we've developed an operation model that will work through with the utilities. And I believe McMillan will also be attending that workshop. Invites have been sent to O&D committee members, but if anyone else wants to participate, they can reach out. We'll also be holding a construction sequencing and scheduling workshop with our engineering team on the 27th to review and refresh the overall project schedule, try to optimize things, and just dust off the schedule with the current design that we have in mind. And that one would also be open to interested O&D members or utilities if they want to attend. AA is looking at different procurement strategies. We're currently evaluating pros and cons of alternative procurement. One of the ones we've been looking at is CMGC, so we're still kind of evaluating the costs and benefits of potentially bringing on a construction contractor early. So more to come on that. We hosted the second Board of Consultants meeting in October. We finally got a report back from the BOC and a handful of comments, I think about 61 comments from the BOC that we worked to respond to and submit to FERC. Most of those comments were around the probable maximum flood study and the seismic hazard analysis. An update to the PMS study, which is still ongoing, it was discovered that the drainage area under Bradley Lake is much larger than was initially calculated in the 1982 study. So the PMF initial results is looking much larger than what Bradley was initially designed for. The spillway as currently configured would not be able to pass the new PMF. So it's very likely that in the absence of the Bradley Lake expansion project, we would still have to do modifications to the dam and spillway during relicensing, which is 2035. We're working through our procurement team to purchase a three-phase transformer. We're hoping to get the bid package out in the next week or two. The design for the remaining power upgrades, three-phase power upgrades, from the powerhouse up to the dam is 90% complete, and we're targeting July procurement for that. Although we're currently looking at funding options, as that's a pretty big purchase for the project. 2026 subsurface investigation plans coming together. The big one on that is we're going to drill two deep boreholes along the tunnel alignment. These will be about 1,000 feet deep each, and that'll be $2 to $3 million. We're targeting late June, early July, and we'll schedule the third Board of Consultants meeting on site to overlap with the drilling so they can take a look at the drilling operations and things like that. We're working with our engineers to update the construction cost estimate. We haven't finalized that yet, but that should be coming within the next month. The design's progressed significantly since the last one, including tunnel lining and the 16-foot raise will all be included in that, and updated market conditions from what we've been seeing. And last thing, we've got 7 environmental reports from 2025 that we're going to we're reviewing right now and hoping to publish in the next couple weeks in advance of submitting the license. and included a picture of there. That's the Battle Glacier, so just downstream of the Battle Glacier and upstream of the diversion. And that's all I got. Any questions?
No questions for Ryan? Not seeing or hearing any. Ryan, thank you. That was very comprehensive and much appreciated. Okay, we'll move on then to the SQ upgrade update. I don't see a name here, but Curtis, I'll defer to you.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is Jim Mendenhall. I'll do a quick, brief introduction, and then Chris Kohler from Chugach will talk, give some project specifics on the SQ. So AEA put in a memo there, just talks about both the SQ, which we've, you know, obviously completed phase one, nothing for this winter, but then over the next few winters we'll be working. Phase three should be done in 29. We've got some preliminary costs there. We also have some information on the Soldotna to Sterling substation line, which is owned by HEA. I think as most members recall, we were going to do this work. We put it out for bid. It was substantially higher, and some of the steel delivery did not fit within our work plan. You know, that updated cost is about $36 million. We have just tentatively put it in there for the winter of 28-29, but we've got to work with Homer to figure out when that is going to be executed. The other thing I would like to point out on, I think it's page three, is we do have a recap, and as I said earlier, Chris will cover some of the SQ stuff, but we also have worked with EPS on some of the substation upgrades for the Soldotna, Sterling, and Quartz Creek substations, and those upgrades total about $49 million. And it just, you know, obviously before we complete the whole upgrade, that work has to be done, so we'll have to come up with some strategies on that. So I'll turn it over to Chris, unless there's any questions for AEA. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Chris Kohler, Chugach Electric. Just a quick update on the Sterling to Quartz Creek project. For the month of December, the main items completed. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service published the final environmental assessment, and they issued the final finding of no significant impact, which was jointly issued by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Forest Service. And then the last document from that, they issued the record of decision approving the project. So with all of that, we've kind of passed that major hurdle, which has been a couple of years of work in progress. So now we're working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to get the formal permit for construction. And then on the project two, we had talked about we issued the contract for the steel poles. The first round of vendor drawings are scheduled for January 26th for review and approval. The engineering team has submitted all of the other permit applications to the different agencies, so we're working that aspect for construction approval this fall, and engineering is progressing to 90%. They finalized the bill of materials for Project 2. That's under review by Chugach right now, and we'll be going out for procurement of those materials the beginning of February. And then lastly, the Project 3, the remaining field work for geotech investigation, was completed in the month of December. We should be getting a preliminary report in February for Project 3, and then that will wrap up our geotech work for the project. Any questions?
Good to see the progress. Any questions or comments by committee members? Well, thank you, Mr. Mendenhall. Thank you, Mr. Kohler. Move on to item 8F, Bradley Lake expansion and SIPLink financing update, and I believe we have AEA Council, Mr. Billingsley.
Hi, this is Mark Billingsley, Alaska Energy Authority. I've been helping coordinate a team of folks at Alaska Energy Authority and some outside folks helping figure out the cheapest way to finance these projects. This is the SIPLink project and the Bradley Lake expansion project. So they're, you know, the two large capital projects. I don't really need to go through them. You know what they are, and you just heard updates on each of them. So current cost estimates, you can see there, as Mr. McLaughlin just described, we're getting an updated cost estimate for Dixon diversion right now. And that still is the most recent cost estimate for SIPLink as well, the $413 million. So we've raised about $20 million for the Bradley Lake expansion. That leaves a gap of $342 million, and we still have $142 million on the SIPLink project. We're aiming to have final decisions on how the Bradley Lake expansion project will be funded in Q3 of this year. It would be great if we even had documents signed, but that, you know, that might be ambitious, but we're gonna, that's what we're aiming for. Cook Inlet Power Link will follow a similar schedule. It might trail a little bit behind. And you can see the start of construction dates there and the commission dates. And that also, the slide also shows the cash flows, when the money's needed at the different stages of the projects. The Cook Inlet Power Link, there's, ordering the cable itself is a big early expense. So what are we looking at for potential funding sources is what we're spending a lot of time on, and there's a lot of detail to be uncovered for each of the options. I think probably everybody here is familiar with the USDA's program, and there's also a Department of Energy program. So the USDA Rural Utility Service has a program, and you can get sort of a system borrower status, or you can borrow specific to project loans. And so we're applying through the RUS program, and we're trying to ascertain what level of eligibility and how much funding we can get. Similarly with the Department of Energy, they have a tribal program, and then they have the regular Title 17 program. They've really kind of encouraged us to look at the tribal program because they have some extra funding there. But that's not clear that we could qualify, but we're looking into that as well. We've also determined that we are eligible to issue tax-exempt bonds for the Bradley Lake expansion project, but only for that project, not also for SIPLink. And we got a allocation of the state of Alaska's volume cap for local furnishing bonds for $342 million. We already did that. So we found out maybe in November we got the legal determination that Bradley Lake expansion is eligible for tax-exempt bonds. And then within a few weeks, just before the end of 2025, we were able to get the allocation from the state bond committee, which was important because they expired at the end of the year. And if we're going to take advantage of that, we have to do so within 3 years, which wouldn't be an issue. So by the end of 2028, we do have to carry it forward with the IRS from 1 year to the next, and we've already filed that for 2026. And then there's the sort of the public market. There's NRUCFC, which I think is a lender to a number of utilities, and then the bondholder for a lot. AEA's bond series 11, and then there's taxable bonds. So those are the main options we're looking at. Something else to mention here is tax credits. We're working really hard on that. And it really, when you, these programs have different levels of funding that they're able to do. Some of them require an equity requirement where they can only fund 75 or 80% of it. So you got to figure out how to bridge the gap. And then you also throw in the potential for tax credits, and it's really kind of a complicated matrix of figuring out the optimal solution. And on the tax credit front, we're working not just on eligibility, but also maximization under the investment tax credit. Working really hard on that because it could be pretty valuable. Then there's a couple different ways we're trying to maximize the likelihood that we qualify. That's pretty much it on the update. The next steps you can see there, we're trying
Mark?
To. Yes.
Brian Hickey, committee member Hickey's got his hand up on. Go ahead, Brian.
Sure, I just had a question. I didn't see CoBank on there, and I was wondering if there was a particular reason. And then, I guess by taxable bonds, you're considering the public and private markets. Is that what's summarized there?
By taxable bonds, yes. And we welcome recommendations of other potential lenders. So feel free to shoot an email. Sorry, go ahead.
Sure. No, I'll shoot you an email. I just thought CoBank, you know, if you're talking to CFC, you usually talk to CoBank as well. So.
Just on that point, Brian, that's a very good idea, because one of the things we've looked at is when they were ranked 1 through 7, 1 through 6 is below market. And so kind of number 7 on that list is at market or others. So we've been focusing on if we can get money below market. And, you know, the USDA as well as Department of Energy are both at T-bill plus 1/8 or 3/8, depending on the particular program. So we've been kind of focusing on those first, because we do believe that there's going to be some sort of structure, some sort of stacking that we're going to have to do.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I do know that when we went out for MLMT, you know, we had a solicitation for, I think, at the time, $700 million, and ended up having almost $4 billion in offers. So we were able to pick the very low cost off the bottom of the stack. And, you know, that might be an exercise worth attempting, but I'm not pushing it. You know, I know our U.S. money's cheap, and if you can handle all the paperwork and strings, it's good money. So thank you.
We're also a bureaucracy, so we're kind of used to it. That's right. We haven't really gone aggressively at the public market, private market, because those other options are very likely to come in cheaper. But when we get there, we're going to really start, you know, exploring all the options there. So thanks for mentioning that. So we hope to, at least for Bradley Lake expansion, have the identified, perhaps even paper signed, in Q3 of 2026, maybe slightly pushing to Q4. You can see a proposed schedule there. So we're updating our board at the end of this month, and then again we'll do that again in April. And then they'll need to approve, Curtis, maybe you can walk through how you guys have done this in the past.
Yeah, basically with the schedule. This is a schedule very kind of close to what we did when we did Series 11, but obviously we're keeping our board informed, obviously, with the BPMC meeting here. And then when we get to a point of getting close to having approved term sheets, we'll obviously have that conversation with the BPMC. In the past, the BPMC has approved the draft term sheets. Obviously, the AEA board has to approve the draft term sheets. We then send those to the utilities. The utilities will then take them up with their individual boards. So we're all working off the same term sheets, and then once that is done, and in the past it's been a 6-week process, but once that is done, then we can go into an approving resolution from the AEA board and finalize closing. And like I said, this schedule is rather aggressive, but we need to put something down. And last year, or not last year, but on Series 11, we closed in December, and we had, and it was the same actual August-September time period that went out to the utilities for approval. So this is just, like I said, this is our best guess to keep us on track. This is for Bradley expansion. Simultaneously, as Mark said, that we're also working on SIPLink. The one thing I will say for SIPLink, they don't have as many doors to open as far as financing options, because we have the $206 million federal funding, and so that hampers us when we go to USDA or to the loan office, the Department of Energy, Energy Dominance Loan Office, because we already have a large commitment from the federal government. And the same thing with tax-exempt bonds. they're not going to give us $206 million and tax-exempt bonds. So we have fewer doors to open on the financing on that. We are pleasantly surprised that Bradley Lake expansion, there's a lot of people interested in that particular project. So we kind of, that's low-hanging fruit for us as far as taking it. And then and just to jump a little bit, and that is also budget-wise, since we have $60 million identified for SIPLink, match that to the feds, that's 120, another, they're 60, that's 120. So our financial needs are quicker for Bradley needing to get that in place before we do SIPLink. So that was the reason for that order. Sorry I talked too long.
Not at all. Any other questions? Otherwise, go ahead and proceed, Mark.
That was everything. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, I certainly appreciate the progress. Staff has certainly been busy. Any questions on the financing update? Not seeing or hearing any. We can move on to the operator's report. Mr. Law, I think I saw you. Please.
Yes, I'm here.
Great.
So you've all got a copy of my report in your packet. So there is one thing that didn't quite get into the report due to the fact that it occurred after I generated the report and turned it in that we do need to discuss. If I could share my screen. Can you see that? Yeah. Yeah.
I do not.
You should be able to present.
Okay. All right. I apologize. I'll just continue on with the presentation. So during the week of January 5th, we experienced some sub-zero temperatures, with the lowest temperature being negative 16. On January 9th, the temperature started to come back up above freezing. On the 10th of January at 2:30 in the morning, we had the fire alarm system activated for apartment D. And the alarm was fire water flow. The employee occupying the apartment woke up to the alarm and with a lot of water coming down from the living room ceiling. One of the sprinklers in the attic had frozen and failed, and when it thawed out, it began releasing water. So it took us a few minutes to isolate the fire tree and secure the water. We figured that approximately 700 gallons was released into the attic. This caused damage to the sheetrock insulation and flooring to the upper level, and both the sheetrock and the insulation in the lower level was also damaged. We've got an estimated cost of repair at approximately $45,000. So I expect to be able to absorb most of that cost into the existing budget. Does anybody have any questions?
Martin, I have one. When do you anticipate initiating repairs or having it completed, and does it present any challenges with having enough room for the either employees or visitors?
So remediation, we found that due to a previous incident, there was some mold in the area that we need to perform a remediation on. That'll happen on Monday. The repairs, right now we've got a contractor on standby to come in on the 28th of January. The employee that's in that, assigned to that housing is currently on leave, so he won't be back for 3 weeks. We'll have a pretty good start on the repairs by then. And when he gets back, he will just move over to the crew's quarters and occupy one of those bedrooms there. And it won't inhibit or prevent any other visitors or contractors from coming out and occupying those areas in the crew's quarters.
I see Travis has his hand up, and maybe he's going to ask about insurance, but go ahead, Travis.
Sure. I wasn't going to ask about insurance, but you could piggyback onto that. My question was, I know it's rare to get those kind of temperatures down in that area, but as the repairs are being done, what kind of mitigation efforts are being looked at to prevent this from happening again?
Well, we happen to have UConn Fire out doing the upgrade on the fire system to the control room, and I had them take a look at it and inspect it. Since the installation of that fire system and those buildings were built, the fire code has changed, and they don't allow wet systems up in attics in cold areas. So we are going to move that system, abandon it in place, and move that system down into the soffitted ceiling installation where it will be kept warm and dry. Otherwise, we have to go to a dry system and redo all the housing in the attic installation to a dry system.
And Martin, is there insurance coverage on this property damage?
I haven't explored that. I have given my report to Ryan and expect to get back with him and see what we need to do to report this and go from there.
Any other questions for Martin on the operator's report? Not hearing or seeing. Thank you. Thank you, Martin.
All right. Thank you.
Move on to committee reports. First up is budget. We have a report on budget versus actuals. I believe that's Mark. Come forward. Yeah, thank you for the pictures, Martin. I reviewed those earlier.
Good morning. I'm Mark Ziesmer from AEA, and today I'll be walking through the Bradley Lake budget to actual expenses report as of October 31st, 2025. Before I get started, I want to note that I'll be skipping a couple sections, at Schedule A and Schedule E, which are the non-RMC capital expenses for Bradley Lake and Battle Creek. There's been no activity thus far for fiscal year 26 as of October 31st. So let's go ahead and move on to Schedule B, Bradley Lake O&M. That's pages 3 and 5. Bradley Lake O&M expenses totaled $2,062,193, which is $508,000 under budget. Most FERC categories are tracking close to budget year to date, but there are a few notable overages. One is in FERC 539, the contractual expenses portion are over budget by $44,519, and that's due to both CMMS support and fuel costs. FERC 544, maintenance of electric plant, contractual expenses are over budget by $20,507, driven by breaker and relay testing work. FERC 545, contractual expenses are over by $21,250. That's tied to nozzle rebuild, test fitting work, and barge services. FERC 920-930, which is our administrative section, professional consultants, the labor and benefits is over by $35,099, and that's due to just higher than anticipated expenses. I believe that for all these variances are mostly timing related, and they should normalize over the year. Let's move on to page six, which is Schedule D, R&C capital purchases. They totaled $166,387, covering both the fire alarm system replacement and the Bradley Lake expansion project. Cumulative cost down at the bottom of the report for Bradley Lake expansion projects stand at $8,672,754. I want to go ahead and move on to Schedule F, pages 8 through 10, which is Battle Creek O&M. Battle Creek O&M expenses total $180,811, which is $63,784 under budget. Most of the costs in this section reflect the standard 4% allocation from Bradley Lake. We'll move on to the next page, which is Schedule I, SSQ, line O&M. Total expenses were $5,264, and that's $86,029 under budget, and most of the activity so far relates to overhead line maintenance. I'll move on to the final page of the report, which is page 12, Appendix A, and this is for Bond Series 11 related activity. The report is showing a cumulative spending of $16,309,165, approximately $14 million directly related to the SSQ line upgrade work. And for the oscillation dampening service contracts, the total through October 31st is $1,390,306. And that's all I have for my report. Are there any questions?
I don't see any questions. Any questions from the room? Not hearing or seeing any. We'll move on to the O&D report. Josh, I see you're up.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, this is the O&D report. We did talk about Dixon Diversion, but Ryan gave you guys a better synopsis of that. And I'll take any questions if you have.
Any questions on the O&D report? Not seeing or hearing any. Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Next on the agenda is executive session. Mr. Paisner, is there a need for executive session? I believe there is, but I'd like to check with counsel.
I think so, based on some of the conversations I had, at least a discussion about some of the RCA matters.
Very good. I'll take a motion to go into executive session.
Okay. I move the Bradley Lake Project Management Committee enter into executive session to discuss confidential matters, the immediate knowledge of which would have an adverse effect on the authority or the project, and two, confidential matters discussed with an attorney for the committee or a member of the committee, the immediate knowledge of which may have an adverse effect on the legal position of the committee or the authority.
Andrew Lawson, you got second?
Moved and seconded. Jennifer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Yes, sir. Homer Electric Association?
Larry Jorgensen, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Andrew Laughlin, yes.
City of Seward?
Tony Hickey, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Charles Noreen, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Thank you. Please advise when we're off the record and
okay, Chair, you're back on the record.
Okay, very good.
And Joe just joined.
Yep. Okay, I want to, we're back on the record. Before we go to agenda item number 12, member comments, I just want to advise that the no decisions or direction in executive session, no action was taken on any matters discussed. Agenda item number 12, member comments. Who would like to go first? Did I lose Brian? No, Brian, you're there. You can go first.
Sure. I appreciate the discussion and looking forward to how we move forward in the future. Thank you.
Sure. Larry.
I would echo what Brian said. Thank you for the discussion, and we'll look forward to all the new things we're headed towards.
Travis.
Yeah, good meeting. I really appreciate the updates on the various projects that we're working on, Dixon Diversion and the Intertie project. So appreciate that, and thank you very much.
Andrew.
Yeah, thank you. I'd just like to say thanks for all the excellent reports and great information we got from all the folks who work on this project, and look forward to moving forward on this.
Curtis.
I just would like to, again, I think it was a very good meeting, but also I want to do a shout-out just to the AEA staff, especially on the financing side. It's been moving very fast, and which actually another trip to D.C. in a couple of weeks. We're actually meeting with the U.S. Department of Treasury on tax credits, and we will have circled back with all of the FERC commissioners, and then we'll file the day after we get our last FERC commissioner meeting done. And so there's just a lot of effort going on, and they're not here in the room today, but Mark's been leading that effort, and I just want to thank the staff because everybody has day jobs, and now we have our own finance team, which is now a subpart of what we're doing, and we'll be very aggressive on the timeline that we've set. So thank you.
Yeah, I'll echo the other comments. I don't think I missed anybody. So from MEA's perspective, thank you, Curtis and AEA staff. What we talked about today with SimpLink and the Bradley expansion are probably the largest coordinated rail belt projects in many decades. This is a significant point that we're at, and I greatly appreciate the progress. With that, we'll go to the next meeting date. Agenda item 13 is March 20th at 2026, and I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn, Curtis Thayer, AEA.
Second, Travis Blaine.
Jennifer, please, let's call a motion. Jennifer, please conduct roll call vote to adjourn.
Alaska Energy Authority.
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association.
Andrew Laughlin, yes.
City of Seward.
Brian Hickey, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Brian, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Larry Jorgensen, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
The motion carries, Chair. We are adjourned.